session number 10704, reel 3.
Yes, they made
Captain Harris, reel 3.
Yes, they made the most valuable product of all, I suppose, that came out of those working parties, and that was chloroform. They made alcohol, and then, I don't know, they crack it or something, and they use this chloroform, of course, for operations. It had been done earlier on, in fact, in the hospital camps. They may very well have had it there, although one's heard of frighteningly horrible experiences of limbs being cut off without any form of anaesthetic, of course. But we had a paper-making party, and they did make paper. They made it out of straw and wood ash, I think it was. They were the main things, but I've got a piece of paper that was given to me by one of the members of that particular party who was a paper manufacturer at home. And I still have this, and I have the recipe written on it, and I'm proposing, as you know, to give it to the Imperial War Museum.
Can you tell me how the liberation came, as far as you remembered it?
Yes. I first heard that I was a free man. I'm not quite sure. It would probably be August the 16th. But I was at one end of a great big bamboo, and at the other end was a friend of mine. And we were carrying this bamboo up to this place, a new camp that we were building, the place called Nakam Nayok, which is on the borders of, I suppose then it would be French Indochina and Thailand. Japanese pulling back prisoners of war to well back from, Thailand, really, where the troops coming down from Burma would be spilling over. And I remember very well this chap, Captain Andrew Barr, who was a member of the drinks family, you know, Barr's Iron Brew, you've probably heard about it, saying, Willie, they used to call me Willie, it's all over. And I said, like an idiot, I said, what's all over? And he said, the bloody war. I said, it's not. Put down the bamboo, and Tommy Chester, who was at the other side, said, oi, what the hell are you doing? You know, I said, it's over, the war's over. So he puts it down. And I suppose we must have been about a fortnight before anyone arrived at the camp. But long before the fellow arrived, the Nips really almost disappeared overnight. Most of the guards were Koreans, and they were just simply told by the NIP officers to make their way home. I should think very few of them would ever get home, but they almost disappeared overnight. The NIPs that remained, as far as I can remember, were absolutely shattered. And, you know, I mean, it was such a turnaround. It's very, very difficult to understand. And Colonel Toosey, who was the man I mentioned, he was in command. And very, very soon we were, you know, organized, ready for liberation. And then one day a fellow walks into the camp and he's got a couple of six-shooters hanging down from a belt, and he's wearing an outfit that reminds me of a Western cowboy appearing on the scene. And he's one of the people that had been dropped, one of the American troops that had been dropped behind the lines, I suppose, to put some stiffness into the resistance in Thailand. And he tells us that the war is over, which of course we knew. How the hell we knew, I don't know. But probably, you know, we always had wirelesses in practically all the camps. There was somebody that risked their neck, and there was some sort of a receiver. And then there was also some contacts with the Thais themselves. And, of course, we told him that we knew the war was over, and he then proceeded to talk to us, I would think, for half an hour, and he never told us a goddamn thing about the war, but he told us about Errol Flynn being up for rape and all sorts of extraordinary stories about what was going on in the West. And we then had to wait, I suppose, for another couple of weeks or so, and we were then flown out. We then went by truck to Bangkok, and from Bangkok we were taken by plane to Rangoon. There I had the privilege of meeting and talking with Lady Louis Mountbatten, who sat on my bed for 20 minutes, and we, of course, were addressed by the great Supremo himself. He really was a fantastic chap, that. He addressed us from a tabletop in the canteen, I think it was, of the Rangoon University, and told us what a great lot of guys we were, and what a great lot of chaps his boys were, what a great fellow he was, and we were all very happy. And we were very glad to get home, I'll tell you.
What do you feel about the Japanese today?
Well, I suppose, really, it's a long time ago, and we can't really hold the sins of the fathers against the present generation. But I never buy anything Japanese if I can avoid it. And as for the generation that put us through it, I've not forgotten them, and I've never forgiven them. And I hope that bloody old emperor roasts in hell.